You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm the former editor of AllYouCanHeat.com and a credentialed writer covering the Miami Heat and the NBA. For the Step Back, FanRag Sports, and Miami Heat Tip-Off Mag, you can follow me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Ramil, a credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat for SB Nation and AllYouCanHeat.com. I cover the NBA at large for FanSided and FanRag Sports. And you can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRamil13.
Jeff Siegel for the Step Back wrote a piece headlined, "Mediocrity is in the cards for the Heat," and it is a pretty bleak but honest and measured look at where the Miami Heat are right now. And it comes out in an interesting time, at a point where the Heat have won a couple games here and look to be playing some pretty good basketball despite Hassan Whiteside being out. But look, this is a team that's played well, and they don't play so well, and they play well again, they don't play so well, and they've hovered around 500 for most of the season. And the piece really gets at the point of not so much the current state of the Heat, but just that this is a team that's really locked in to what they have. And it's especially poignant because in a couple of days here, a lot of these contracts the Heat signed over the summer, they're going to be available for trade, right? And so you kind of consider where the Heat are, and they've got to consider where they are as a front office, as an organization. And that's kind of what Jeff's piece looked at, is what their cap sheet looks like until 2020, the fact that they don't have a lot of draft picks, first round or second round. And it's a lot of the things, David, that we've talked about a lot on this show, but with this piece coming out for an outlet that we both write for in the Step Back, which, and if you haven't read it, I encourage you to go read it. You know, even if you're a Heat fan that is an optimist, go read that piece, and it just gives you, at the very least, some information. And that's what we're going to be talking about here for the first couple of segments. We'll get to our Portland Trail Blazers preview. The Heat play the Blazers tonight. We'll get to that later on in the show. But we want to start here with just the idea that the Heat are mired in mediocrity. David, do you agree with that? Do you disagree with that? What's your opinion?
Well, I think on the surface, I kind of disagree with it, to be honest with you. I think mediocrity is what you make of it. I think we've become, as I've mentioned before on the podcast, we've become enamored with the idea of championship or bust. And the reality is Miami probably isn't going to be competing for a championship unless everybody takes a magnificent turn forward in their development. And that doesn't seem, again, very likely at this point in the season or even an upcoming season. So they're not going to be contending for a title. But, you know, this is also a franchise that has won three rings within the last, 11 years now. So their standard for excellence is probably higher than everybody. And at the same time, they're content with fielding a team. Look, I mean, let's take it a step back. I'm thinking about this even as I'm talking about it. And it's like the San Antonio Spurs are looked at as the franchise that probably trumps all other teams. As good as Golden State is, as good as Miami has been over the last few years, you know, San Antonio is still the benchmark for success, given their 22 seasons of winning over 50-something games.
Yeah.
They've still only won 5 championships, but, and I use still in quote marks.
But the Heat aren't even that right now. You know, the Heat, the way they are right now, at best, 45 wins at best.
Okay, so they're not a 50-win team necessarily. But they are still a playoff contender and probably a perennial contender, even if they don't make a significant change.
I mean, San Antonio, for so many years, yeah, they win 50 games. They get home court at least in the first round. Like right now, the Heat would be very fortunate to get home court in the first round. It's probably not going to happen.
But even that home court, I mean, doesn't translate into anything. It's like we've seen with the Heat, you know, home court doesn't mean anything.
I mean, I'm saying that in the sense that San Antonio is comfortably in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, they are comfortably in the playoffs. Miami is, like, maybe making the playoffs this year. They're currently in 10th in the East. Right. And I just don't know. Yeah, right now, they're a 45-win team at best. I don't know what the best version of this team is. Even if Whiteside were healthy. And a lot of people will point to Whiteside missing 11 games so far this season as an indictment or a reason why the Heat aren't as good. I challenge people to point to more than two games in which Whiteside was injured that the Heat should have won.
Yeah, you know, if he had made that much of a difference in either in more than two games, I would have.
Exactly. I don't know if this team is a 50-win team or a 50-plus win team. I think before the season, it sounds like I'm probably eating crow right now, but before the season, I said that this team would compete for 50 wins, and that was going to be good enough, and I still believe that. I think that their best basketball is ahead of them. I think they had a really tough start of like first 25 games, 30 games of the schedule, and it's going to get easier, and their best basketball is ahead of them. I don't know that, you know, 48 wins in the East is like, you know what I mean? Like those Spurs teams that won 50-plus games in the West would have been winning 55 to 60 games a year in the East easily. So what I'm trying to say is I don't know if that this team is even that good. I would take the Memphis Grizzlies, let alone the Spurs. I would take the Clippers. I would take that. The Clippers of like the post-Chris Paul Clippers, I would take that. I would take that for the next half decade. I would have no problem with it. I don't even think the Heat are that. I think the Heat are...
Surprising.
I think the Heat are, like, as currently constructed, like 6th, 7th, 8th. You know, like, look at the Bucks, look at the 76ers, look at these other teams in the East that are just leapfrogging them. They're better, and there are several teams now that are just better than Miami. I don't think that the Heat are even in that. At least the Clippers are always a top 4 or 5 team in the West.
Yeah, but the reality is we don't know what's going to happen. We say that there are a number of teams, but, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo could leave in free agency. You know, he could seek a trade somewhere. We didn't expect Paul George to get moved. We didn't get Carmelo to get moved. You know, we didn't expect Kevin Durant to leave a free agency.
But even if any of those guys move, I know what you're saying, like those knockdown, those teams that peg, but even if any of those guys get moved, the Heat aren't going to be the ones that acquire them, not as currently constructed. And that's a lot of what Jeff's piece got at is they're not in the cards to get anything. Like,
all right,
and
that's
fine. Let's talk about that.
That alleviates some of the logjam up top. And that gives Miami an opportunity to move up into the top four teams in the Eastern Conference.
Well, we're going to talk about where the Heat can go from here. But first, fantasy basketball fans, listen up. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try our new favorite fantasy app. It's called Draft. It's daily fantasy basketball, but it's not like the other guys. Draft was launched in 2014 with the idea that the draft is the best part of playing fantasy basketball. The only problem, though, is that you only get to draft once in your season-long leagues, and traditional daily fantasy is dominated by sharks, and that could be intimidating. Not with Draft. On Draft, you play with a live snake draft, no salary cap, with other people. Plus, there's no multi-entry or player overlap, so you don't have to worry about those fantasy sharks gaming the system. Draft is designed to make fantasy sports simple, fair, and fun. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just one night. You pick a draft, and you start. Drafts start every couple of minutes, so you can join one right now. Here's my favorite part. After the draft, there's little to no lineup management. Just set it and forget it. No trades, no waiver wires. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. And of course, you can play for cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. There's a draft for you, Locked On Heat listeners, fans, right now. So after this podcast, go to Draft, download the app if you haven't already, and search for the Locked On Heat Draft Room, and you can play with us tonight in tonight's slate of games. Join Draft today, download the app, just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes or play right from your computer on draft.com. For a limited time, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOHEAT and you can play a game to win real money by using the promo code LOHEAT on your first deposit. That free deposit, that free entry will have you covered for tonight's games. Go to our Twitter account at LockedOnHeat. You can find the link for our league for today and you can play with us tonight. Okay, so we're going to preview tonight's game against the Trailblazers later on, but going back to this whole idea of the Heat being in mediocrity or being mediocre and just being kind of stuck with what they have, I don't know what the Heat should do. Because it's true. I think that whether or not we label it as mediocrity or not, or if we're happy with it or if we're not happy with it, the Heat are locked into this team right now and for this foreseeable future. And in part of Jeff's piece was that there aren't a lot of even guys on this team that are valuable trade assets on their own. He mentions Goran Dragic and like as probably one of the only guys who is a value contract. Guys like Whiteside, James Johnson, Deion Waiters, those are overpaid guys. Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson have value as like young potential players. Tyler Johnson doesn't have value on the trade market. And Zach Lowe, before the season, he wrote that in order to trade maybe a James Johnson or a Kelly Olynyk or a Waiters contract, you'd almost have to attach Winslow or Richardson with those guys to move those guys. It's a really bleak way to look at it, and it's unfortunate. So I don't know where else the Heat can go from there. I don't want to start a trade machine like war here, but I do kind of want to talk about this idea that are the Heat just stuck? Because for so long I've heard where there's a will, there's a way. I don't know what the way is right now for Miami.
Well, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I think stuck is what you make of it. And I know that might sound cliche or oversimplified, but at the same time, to me as a viewer, as somebody who watches basketball regularly, and I don't know that I necessarily have an allegiance towards the Heat, but I do follow them as closely as anybody else. I just prefer them playing hard. Like, for all the success that we enjoyed during the Big Three era, I would rank last season's 30-11 finish as among the best Heat seasons I've ever witnessed after watching them for decades. You know, I think seeing that kind of effort from them, the way they coalesce as a group to be able to find their niche and to get top performances from guys like Deion Waiters and James Johnson, and to have Hassan Whiteside understand and embrace his role, that was something that I took a great amount of pleasure in watching. And to me, you're saying stuck, like, well, they're not going to win a title, but I personally don't mind them winning 40 something games so long as you're playing at a high level.
I'll and say I still this. Think I think, you know, I agree with you on the second half of last season where they go 30-11 and
for sure.
And that was great, but that was 30-11. You know, they were winning two out of every three games. That's just, if they do that all the time, and if you're able to experience that again, they win 60 games, you know? And I just, it's going to be a lot closer to like 1.5 to every one games that they're winning. One game to every one games that they're winning. Like, they're going to win and they're going to lose. And I just don't know that wherever this team, I don't think, can go 30-11 again. I don't think that that's going to happen. It's not in the cards for this roster. And I think we're seeing that. I'll say this, though. I think with, in the NBA, a lot of times, or just right now, there is a tendency to look at a roster, and if it's not the Golden State Warriors, there's a tendency to, like, say, blow it up and tank, right? If you're not the Warriors, if you're not the Cavaliers, if you're not the Rockets, if you're not the Spurs, blow it up and tank, you know? And I don't agree with that. I don't think that's what would be enjoyable, but the Heat don't need to be as good as 72 wins. They just need to be a little bit better. And going back to what I was saying before, they're not a 50-plus win team right now. They're just not. It doesn't take a whole lot more to get there. And I think they could, just from what we've seen from these three guys, from Justice Winslow, from Josh Richardson, and from Bam Adebayo. And you might have to clear a couple of guys in front of them to make room for those guys to grow and develop, and that's just part of the game. That's just part of sport, professional sports. That's part of the NBA, and that might happen. And if you have to remove one of those guys to give one of those guys an opportunity to get better than the guy ahead of them, then I think you do it. And I don't think that qualifies as tanking. I think that just opens up the door to just get a little bit better. And I think between those three guys, especially from what we've been seeing from Justice Winslow the last few games, he could get a lot better. Bam could be really good. And you just give them the door to get that to that level, to get that much better. And I think the Heat as a whole could get just a little bit better, and now we're starting to talk about a 50-win basketball team.
Okay, hold on one second. Sorry. This window of bleak future that we're talking about, how long will it last? All these contracts play out to their
2020-ish.
So we're talking three seasons?
That's a long time.
Is it?
It is, because you think about what the 76ers did. The whole process was, what, 4 years? That seems
and
like
they still know nothing. They've still done nothing.
But they have the guys.
Something? Like, they have the something. You're higher on 76ers than I am.
You're they've lower than most something. People. You're lower than most people. They've got Embiid. They've got Simmons. They've got guys.
They've got
a road. They've got cap space. And they have draft picks. And they have a road. Like, the Heat don't even have a road.
I don't care. I'm serious. I don't care about that. Look, maybe this is where you and I...
What if they... You're going to care if this is a 41-win team.
I like that it's a 41 team. I'd rather watch a 41 team than a 19-win team
okay, but I'm not
with the hope
that.
Of mystery
saying,
box A and turning into a draft pick that might play.
I'm not saying they tank. All I'm saying is that I think this team could get to 50 plus wins. I'm saying don't tank. I'm saying just make room for the guys who have the ceiling to play and reach that ceiling. That's all I'm saying. And now you're talking about a team that's probably a 45 win team at best that could be a 52 win team. If Winslow and Richardson and Bam kind of turn into what we think and hope that they will. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you have to tank and go draft Marvin Bagley next year. I'm just saying make room for those guys that can get better. And right, and there's room for Richardson and Winslow already. There's already room.
But there's room for Whiteside to get better. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah, but he's not going to.
Okay. But he has gotten better over 2 years, right?
So you say you say don't make any moves.
I don't know that you have to make moves. I think it's you take the core that you have, the one that's going to be in place there for a number of years, and you figure out a way to get everybody to play at a higher level. I think that's still a possibility. I think you can still maximize talent on this roster. I think that's what Riley did for years. I think that's what – I mean, Riley built teams in New York with guys that were playing in the old Continental Basketball League, John Starks, Anthony Mason, Charles Smith, guys like this, you know, the guys that weren't – superstars at any point in time, and he got them to play at a higher level. Who was the star of that team? Patrick Ewing? And who else? Allen Houston? I mean, that's a guy who was like a Allen Houston is the 1990s era Wayne Ellington.
I know, but the Heat don't have anybody even close to Patrick Ewing. Like if you take Goran Dragic off this team and put a Hall of Fame point guard on the roster, this team is really good. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about even one Hall of Famer. This team might be without even an All-Star, let alone a Hall of Famer.
That's fair. But at the same time, I think, look, All-Star selections indicate something in a vacuum. You know, how they play in a particular season. There's a lot of narrative-driven stories that go into selections. Yeah. There's fan bases that
These guys are just borderline All-Stars regardless. Like, just quality of level of play.
I don't mind it. I got to be honest with you. Maybe I'm in the way minority here, but I don't mind it. I like this team. I like this team as composed. I think there's growth still capable, even if you keep the roster intact. Look, I think Whiteside, my biggest problem with Whiteside isn't talent or upside or anything like that. It's simply effort. Like, the things that he does badly, I think, are things that he could change if he just was willing to do so. Set a screen for a half a second as opposed to a millisecond. You know, go after rebounds a little bit more intently. Dive to the rim with a little effort to try and dunk on somebody.
You know who does those things?
Yeah, Bam Adebayo. Look, again, if Whiteside did those things that he did 2 years ago to earn the kind of contract that he has now, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't have a problem with it, but he's not that player anymore. If he's going to bitch the media and saying he had perfect timing with Dwayne Wade, which is absolute BS, you know, that was something that he was willing to do two seasons ago, not anymore. I think he can change that, and I'm still hoping he will. And if he doesn't, then fine. That's when you start entertaining, as we've done on a number of occasions I've done, trade his ass. I'm okay with that. You know, that's when he doesn't fit into the mold as I currently see it. Like, this is a player who's on the roster, eating up cap space, and not giving 100% effort. And that's intolerable to me. I don't mind the fact that he's not going to turn into an all-star, because, again, that's a lot of narrative. He doesn't shoot threes, or when he does, he shouldn't shoot threes. But the point is, like, there are other more versatile players in today's game that put up bigger, gaudier numbers. I don't care about that. I want Whiteside to play his game effectively. I'd like DeAndre Jordan, to be honest with you. I think he's a better player than Whiteside, and he does things a lot worse than Whiteside in a number of regards and a number of aspects. So I don't have a problem with players being limited so long as they're playing their role effectively. Whiteside does not. He doesn't do little things that make him and his team better.
And that's why the Heat need to trade him.
Okay, and that's fine, but that's not about talent. That's not disparaging. Yeah. That's not labeling talent. That's labeling effort, one that he does not give.
Yeah, I mean, he's an elite talent, but he just doesn't have the effort. And I think that Bam has an elite talent and has shown that he's willing to do the things. And granted, he's a rookie. And I just think that this team needs to start making room for those guys. And look, I'm going to admit something. If it goes south and this team is just a 41-win team,
yes,
I think you really need to start thinking about just blowing it up. I know you hate it.
Kevin O'Connor at the ringer.
He likes to blow it up. Look, and there's
every team.
There's a tank. There's a tank season. There's a tank movement on Twitter right now among Heat Twitter. I'm a lot closer to that than you are. I want to, but before doing that, I want to see this. I want to try to get this team. And it really comes down to Justice Winslow, because he's the guy with the ability and the playing time. There's nobody in front of him. He is the only true small forward on the roster. You know what I mean? There is no one in front of him. He could be the guy that gets this team from low 40s to 50s if he gets good as he can be.
Who's this, Winslow?
Justice Winslow. There's nobody in front of him.
Can make that much of a difference?
Just give it him combined with the general like growth of the team, like you were talking about. Yeah, like just if Bam's getting better, if Kelly Olynyk is getting more comfortable in the offense, which he has been lately. He's been really awesome. If Deion Waiters can get his crap together, if Tyler Johnson is playing like he is, if just the team kind of coalesces the way we hope it does, Winslow, that means, I think that this team right now is a 45-win team. I just think that the schedule has been really unfavorable for them in the beginning. This is a 45-win basketball team. I think a really good Justice Winslow fills a lot of holes for them and can get this to a 50-win team. I think they could be a 50-win team.
But what's his upside as you see it? You know, you're talking about, you know, Winslow taking his team to another level.
Like a rung below Jimmy Butler. Like whatever that is. I don't know the player comp for that. But like just a notch below Jimmy Butler. Who could be at best Jimmy Butler. But is more consistently a notch below that. I don't know what the player comp is.
But that was also Jimmy Butler on a Chicago Bulls team that didn't have much depth other than Chicago than Jimmy Butler. I mean, they had Butler, and then they had a bunch of guys willing to play defense and not take a lot of shots.
Yeah. Are you saying Butler's not as good right now in Minnesota?
He's not.
I mean, yeah.
He's not. It's a different team. It's like so much – the more I see basketball as I get older, and I hate to sound like old guy on the lawn, but at the same time, it's just – so much of what we see is about fit and guys. Look, Cleveland stunk at the beginning of the year. Same goddamn roster with the exception of Derrick Rose being hurt and away from the team to evaluate his future.
Okay, but they have LeBron James and Kevin Love. Like, they have good players. They have, like, legit all-stars.
We owe
the network a mid-roll. Quick reminder, make sure you're subscribed to Locked on Heat on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And to leave us a review on iTunes to help other Heat fans discover the show. Also, be sure to check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA and NFL team, like Locked On Dolphins. Go Dolphins! Big win against the Patriots. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. All right, let's put a pin in the tank or not the tank conversation. The Heat play the Blazers at home tonight. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Mo Harkless, Evan Turner, the Heat are winning. The Myers Leonard. The Heat. Let's just name the roster. That's the rest of the segment. The rest of the show. Look, the Heat are coming off two straight wins. They got the Blazers at home. Blazers are a good offense. It's going to put a big test against their defense. I think having Bam in there, as well as Kelly Olynyk, kind of puts them in a really good position to kind of guard this Trailblazers backcourt. How do you see this playing out?
It's an interesting matchup. It's certainly a bigger test than either of the past two wins. I mean, Brooklyn and Memphis represent a very different style of play. Brooklyn, to their credit, you know, tries to play at that high octane offense, and they just don't have the horses.
And they were without D'Angelo Russell,
right? One of their main horses, but. You know, Portland is in a weird place right now. They're without Yusuf Nurkic. They're starting Myers Leonard. You know, he's not much of a factor, although he can space the game. I'm wondering how that matchup is going to play out with Olynyk, whether or not he's able to match up with Leonard, keep him off the boards. He's not the most powerful rebounder, but he can get a couple rebounds here and there. Olynyk has to do a good job of boxing him out. He has to stay with him when he's on the perimeter. I think he's actually quicker than Leonard. You watch more Blazers basketball than I do, but I think Olynyk can get past him. He's got a very nice handle. Obviously, he can get past him, get to the rim with ease. So I'd like to see him kind of execute a lot more of those fake dribble hot handoffs and kind of get around Leonard, because I don't think Leonard's the staunchest of defenders. So that's a matchup I like. The backcourt clearly is the problem. You know, you got Lillard and McCollum who are good for almost 60 points a night on every night. They don't have many off nights between the two. Either one of them is on and the other's off maybe. But at the same time, you're still, when Lillard's on, that's as good as it gets. Yeah. He had, he have 39 points against the Warriors last night. I mean, that's, it was a loss, so they have to go across the country. So that sets them back. There's a lot of factors there. They probably got into Miami at some point today. That means they're going to be facing South Beach tonight. Hopefully they're out drinking till God knows what time. Hopefully they'll be hungover tomorrow and a little off balance.
Yeah. Tonight being Tuesday night, we're recording this night for Wednesday morning. Just clarifying for the listeners.
Yeah, no,
we're like, wait, they're going to be out tonight? Yeah, they're going to be out in South Beach. They're going to be playing the Heat tonight.
Evan Turner, I mean, what can you say about ET, right?
I mean, bona fide all-star, first ballot Hall of Famer, Evan Turner.
Josh Richardson and Evan Turner, do you think he matches up well? I mean, yeah. He's got the length. Yeah. Turner has a little bit more
Richardson's going to just yank the ball right from Evan Turner at some point. I mean, at least once. I think Richardson will just steal the ball right from Evan Turner. Evan Turner's got that high dribble. I think the biggest matchup to me, or the biggest... I think what we're going to see early on is that, look, you're right, Portland's flying across the country on the road. That's going to be tough for them. I think the Heat are going to try to hit them hard at the beginning, and it's going to the Trailblazers don't have any rim protection right now, and I think it's going to be open for Goran Dragic and Dion Waiters to get to the basket and kick out to their shooters. And if Richardson and James Johnson and Olynyk and are hitting their shots from the perimeter, Tyler Johnson, if those guys are hitting their shots from the perimeter, I think that the Heat have a really good shot at winning that game against a better Blazers team. But if those shots aren't going in early and Portland starts packing the paint to supplement for their lack of rim protection, and those guys are still not making their shots as the game goes on, I think you're going to see the Heat really struggle. So if they can start early making Portland pay for their lack of rim protection, I think the Heat have this game.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's a recipe that's perfect for Miami's drive and kick game. You start off driving to the rim. If the shot's there, because it likely will be because of their lack of rim protection, you take that shot at the rim. If it's not there, you find guys in the perimeter. You keep swinging the ball until you find those open shots. Portland's perimeter defense is not great. Their overall defense is not particularly good. This is a defense that Miami's offense can exploit pretty easily. The other side of that, though, is whether or not they can try and limit McCollum and Lillard from getting, 25, 30 points apiece. That's where it could get very interesting. Dragic versus Lillard is not an ideal matchup. I like Waiters.
I'd be interested to see if Spo puts Richardson on McCollum.
That is a good one, right? And then kind of high
Waiters on Turner or whatever, or Harkless.
I would keep Waiters on McCollum because I think he's a better defender than Dragic, and you kind of
hide
Dragic on Turner. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. I would not be surprised if that's what the Heat did. That makes a lot of sense. All right, well,
Bam could have a huge game, right? I mean, Zach Collins, as much as you liked him in the draft, I don't think he can handle Adebayo at any point.
No, I think Bam's in for a good night. Another good night. Might not be 19 points again, but it'll be an effective night. All right, well, we'll have the recap for this game for you later on. For tomorrow, we'll have the recap for this game. In the meantime, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Draft. Use the promo code LOHEAT and get a free entry after you make your first deposit. And check out our Twitter account, @LockedOnHeat, for instructions on how to join our league and play against us during tonight's games. You can send mailbag questions for next week and inquire about advertising on the show by sending an email to LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recap using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
Got it, Wes.